Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Wanted to read to you from Isaiah chapter 59. It says this, "We rebelled against the Lord and lied to Him. We turned away from our God and left Him. We planned to hurt others and to rebel against God. From hearts filled with lies, we talked about it and made our plans. We pushed justice away. Fairness stands off in the distance. Truth has fallen in the streets. Goodness is not allowed in the city. Loyalty is gone, and people who try to do good are robbed. The Lord looked and saw that there was no justice, and He did not like what He saw. He did not see anyone speak up for the people. He was shocked to see that no one stood up for them. So with His own power, He saved them. His desire to do what is right gave Him strength." Well, that really describes Isaiah 59, verses 13 through 16. That really describes our nation today, where we are as a nation. Truth has fallen in the streets. Goodness is not allowed in the city. And we, you know, we wonder, we watch the news, and everything has a spin on it. Very important what you listen to. Jesus said, take care what you listen to. We've entitled this this program, Real Truth for Today, because Jesus said in John 17:17, in His great high priestly prayer, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. And so we approach situations in our nation, in our world, through a biblical lens. We don't look at the Bible through the lens of culture. We look at culture and what is going on in the world through the lens of Scripture. That's what it means to have a biblical worldview. Now, this morning, we welcome a frequent guest to the program, somebody that I just love to talk to because he has such a great take on things and he keeps his finger on the pulse. And we are in the process of getting him connected here, but it's Rod Martin. Rod is a Christian. He's the founder and CEO of Martin Capital, a philosopher, capitalist, and an anti-communist. And Rod worked as the policy director for Governor Mike Huckabee back in the day. He was part of the PayPal team, the team that founded PayPal. And he is he's a Baylor grad. He's an attorney. And he is somebody that we are looking forward to talking to today. Rod, can you hear me?
Now I can't hear you guys.
Okay. We're still having a little bit of trouble there. But we will go to Rod as soon as Mark just let me know as soon as he's on. So lots going on in the world today. We want to talk to Rod about the war in Iran and where we are in that. You know, Pete Hegseth was on Capitol Hill yesterday getting grilled on the war in Iran. And I thought he had a great segment. I thought he did really well. He handles himself well. Pete is an outspoken believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can, you know, poke holes or try and ding him on his testimony and say, oh yeah, but he has this in his past and that in his past. Well, what do you have in your past? If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you that you may be feared. So this is what Pete had to say yesterday.
President Trump, unlike other presidents, has had the courage to ensure Iran never gets a nuclear weapon, and he's ironclad in that. We have the best negotiator in the world driving that deal. The biggest challenge, the biggest adversary we face at this point are the reckless, feckless, and defeatist words of congressional Democrats and some Republicans. 2 months in, I remind you, 2 months in to a conflict. Lest I remind you, and my generation understands how long we were in Iraq, how long we were in Afghanistan, how long we were in Vietnam. 2 months in on an existential fight for the safety of the American people, Iran cannot have a nuclear bomb. We are proud of this undertaking. I am proud that President Trump has had the courage to do it, and I look forward to sharing more about what our troops have accomplished.
That was Pete Hegseth yesterday on Capitol Hill. Rod, are you there?
I am.
All right. I can't see you, but I can hear you. And so I appreciate you coming on the program, my friend.
Well, it is good to be here. And my video is on. I was having trouble seeing you there for a second. So maybe we'll get it sorted out.
We will. Okay, so Rod, I just played that clip from Pete Hegseth. And people are asking questions. I see you now. They're asking questions. They're wondering. They grilled Pete Hegseth on Capitol Hill. They had the audacity to say we were in a quagmire, and he really called them out on that. And you rightly pointed out last time you were on the program that military conflict that has lasted for 7 or 8 weeks can hardly be called a quagmire. Pete Hegseth has said the same thing. So where do you see the war in Iran right now? What is the current temperature, and when can we see an end to this, in your opinion?
Well, I want to echo the comments of the Secretary of War. If 2 months is a quagmire, the word has no meaning. Today is the 51st anniversary of the fall of Saigon. And there was a very simple reason Saigon fell, because we won that war. All you have to do is go back and read the peace treaty to see how overwhelmingly we ended up winning that war after 8 years of quagmire brought to you by the Democrats, who thought that this was just going to be a cakewalk if they sent 500,000 troops to South Vietnam and just stayed forever. It is every bit as bad, but much, much more deadly than what the Bush administration did in Iraq and Afghanistan, which turned out to be a bit of a quagmire. Okay, 2 months and we don't have any boots on the ground at all? Are you kidding me? This has gone shockingly well. There's nothing like it in history. Mm-hmm. We have largely eliminated the offensive capacity and the defensive capacity of this evil regime that literally executes little girls for getting raped. I want to repeat that. This regime executes little girls for getting raped. This is the most evil regime on the planet, except possibly the communist Chinese. And it is absolutely committed to a theology that says that they're not just waiting for the Messiah, what they call the Mahdi, to come. They have to bring him back by engulfing the world in war and ideally, frankly, nuclear fire. So these are not people you can deter in the way that we did the Soviets or the way that we have the Chinese. These are not people who are going to sit there and think about this from our comfortable Western presuppositions. They have a theological agenda. They have an iron grip on the country. And what the president is doing is loosening that grip, because there are 90 million Iranians who do not want this regime, who have suffered deeply under this regime, and who want to overthrow it, but they can't, because this regime has a secret police and this Revolutionary Guard Corps that just mow them down in the streets. And it's not a hypothetical. It's not theoretical. In January, over 2 days, the IRGC murdered 42,000 unarmed protesters in the streets. 42,000. That's almost as many people as died at Nagasaki after an atomic bomb. That is an incredible number of people. It is more than 10 times more than died on 9/11 in 2 days in Iran for the crime of protesting peacefully. They want to overthrow their government, but you have to loosen the regime's grip. And when you do, every armed conflict currently going on in the Middle East stops, because it's all armed, funded, and directed from Tehran. And the Iranian people finally get some peace. And that is absolutely essential. It's also essential for global markets and the global economy that a terrorist state not have control of the Strait of Hormuz, through which 20% of the world's oil flows.
Okay, so right now, Rod, even though we have decimated their military and destroyed their navy, they still control or seem to control or at least have very strong negative influence over the Strait of Hormuz and the flow of oil. What has to happen for that to free up?
Well, they're down to what amount to PT boats. And your older viewers and listeners will know what that is because of John F. Kennedy. John F. Kennedy commanded a PT boat in World War II. That stands for Patrol Torpedo. They're just these little, basically, balsa wood boats. They've got an engine and a couple of big torpedoes, and they go try to blow up enemy shipping. And that was very effective then. It's effective now because they're easy to hide. They are out of major surface combatants. They are out of submarines. We are painstakingly clearing the mines with underwater drones in the strait. So the real closure, to be perfectly blunt, is because we have chosen not to do things that would cost needless American lives. We know that we can starve them out by blockading their ports. They are losing $430 million a day in export revenue, primarily oil, and 80% of that money goes to the regime itself. It's the vast majority of their state budget. So you eliminate that and you eliminate their ability to pay those IRGC thugs, those Bozich guys, their bureaucrats, anything. All of that goes away and you drive wedges in the regime. Eventually, these people, they may not question the righteousness of their cause, but they will question the wisdom of their leadership. And that's when you start having cracks in the whole thing and a revolution is possible. So we're not honestly in that big a hurry to just throw the strait open. We're proving a point. And this is missed on the intermedia. You know, the guys on CNN are never going to tell you this, but the president really doesn't benefit by the Strait of Hormuz being opened quicker. He benefits from it being closed long enough for the world to get the point that, first of all, they need to actually buy energy from the world's largest producer, the United States of America. They need to quit being dependent on the Middle East, and they need to quit being dependent on Russia. I was arguing with a guy just yesterday about this, and he's going on about how America is siding with Putin. No, America's not siding with Putin. America has sent twice as much money to the Ukrainians as all of Europe put together. Meanwhile, Europe has sent twice as much money to Moscow in energy purchases as it has to Kiev in aid. They are the financiers of Russia's invasion, and they are hypocritically calling us out? What a joke. This is why the NATO alliance is in trouble. So the president is making a point here. He is saving American lives, just as we did when we literally were willing to just blow up $300 million worth of military property to rescue one pilot. We're not going to risk a single American life needlessly. And the death toll is amazing. 13 people in 2 months of war. That's unprecedented in human history. And, you know, except maybe once or twice for the ancient Israelites. And we are forcing the world to readjust to an American-led energy order that isn't dependent on the free world's enemies. That is absolutely crucial. So end of the day, what happened yesterday with the UAE pulling out of OPEC, what will happen when the Iranian people are free, all of a sudden the price of oil is going to plummet, and yes, you're going to see a dramatically better energy future unfold over the next 12 to 18 months.
Amen. Well, we're talking to Rod Martin, founder and CEO of Martin Capital. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're up against a break, but we'll be back with more Rod Martin. Don't go away.
The following is a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I had a lot of credit card debt, and it stressed me out. But what I thought was a solution turned out to be a problem. I kept hearing ads about debt settlement that seemed too good to be true. And actually, it was. When I called, they told me to stop paying my bills. That didn't sound right to me at all, so I hung up. Later, I found out that debt settlement is bad, real bad. Then I learned that there is a right way to pay off your credit cards. It's called a debt management program from the great team at Trinity. Trinity had a plan. In the end, I paid off my bills, I saved thousands, and I even improved my credit score.
If credit card debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
My name is Heather. Please forget debt settlement and remember Trinity Debt Management.
1-800-788-1813.
Every weekday, strengthen your family and your faith with Family Talk.
I had the same brain when I was at the bottom of the class that I had at the top of the class. Exactly the same brain, but a different attitude. What does that tell us about our responsibility to develop the intellect of the people and our spheres of influence?
Don't miss Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson every weekday at 6:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. Central on AFR.
American Family Radio is now available on iOS and Apple TV apps. That means even our content is in the world, but not of the world.
Here's where both of you, or each of you, got it right and wrong according to Scripture. That's always our plumb line.
And you can download these apps free from your favorite app store.
The objective is to make disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ.
AFR, available on iOS and Apple TV. And you can find even more app options at afr.net/app.
This is Abraham Hamilton III with AFR, and we're sending Bibles. Here's Michael with Bible League International.
How do you hide God's Word in your heart if you've never even held it in your hands? We've spent the last few weeks telling you about the incredible need for God's Word in the regions of Asia, Africa, the Middle East, and Latin America. You know, God is truly at work. Our prayers are being answered. The gospel is taking grip, but as many as 9 of 10 new believers are denied God's Word. And while many are adults, you know, many are just kids wanting to know what it means to grow as new believers.
I am Lisbeth. I am 10 years old and live in Peru with my mom and sisters. My dad died last year. We would like a Bible to read every day when we wake up. Thank you.
AFR listening family, during the month of April, we want to bless 4,000 Bibleist believers around the world, including 10-year-old Elizabeth. So it's $5 a Bible. $100 will bless 20 waiting believers. Abraham?
You can give by calling 800-YES-WORD, 800-YES-WORD, or visit sendbiblesnow.org. That's sendbiblesnow.org.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. We're talking to my friend Rod Martin, Christian, founder and CEO of Martin Capital, philosopher, capitalist, anti-communist. He was the policy director for Mike Huckabee back in the day, and he was part of the original PayPal team. He's a graduate of Baylor University. And Rod, I want to ask you, Baylor has been in the news because they had an event happen on campus. Turning Point USA was there, but some people didn't like that. And so the students had all our neighbors rally, and they invited two homosexual quote-unquote pastors or leaders there to speak to the students, and several hundred came, according to the reports. And it was so bad that the Baptist General Convention of Texas, who's been joined at the hip with Baylor since the dawn of time, they said, we're going to have to reevaluate our relationship here. And so as a Baylor alum, how do you view that situation?
Well, I'm disgusted, but I'm not all that surprised. I mean, Baylor has been on a downward path ever since Herb Reynolds stole the school from the Baptist General Convention of Texas decades ago. They just went in and announced, hey, you don't own us after all, so we're going to appoint a completely new board and just own our own stuff. And you may recall that they got their comeuppance just a few years later when Herb wanted to sell Baptist Health And this was going to be the basis of a $2 or $3 billion endowment for Baylor University. And Baylor Health just announced, hey, wait, we're going to have our own independent board too, and you don't have any ownership rights. And they couldn't really sue because they were a stop to complain by their own actions. Yeah. It was just absolutely absurd. And, you know, it wasn't as bad perhaps in some ways when I was a law student there many years ago, but it was already moving that direction. And we had an interim president there who went on to be president of Mercer, brilliant law professor, total liberal. And you know, you had a bit of a revival there with Dr. Sloan, and then they got rid of him, and it's just been downhill. So look, I'm all for free speech. I want to hear everybody's point of view. I read everybody's news sources. I am a vacuum cleaner of news from different opinions. That's great. And a university is absolutely a place to hear all sides. And yet, this is an explicitly Baptist institution. This is an explicitly Christian institution. It has a statement of faith. This is like having bank robbers on campus to tell you the virtues of bank robbery. It is just wrong. And if you want to have that, do it down the street. It doesn't have to be campus sponsored. Do it at UT. That's what they're for. I mean, right. It's just ridiculous, and it's shameful. There was a famous editorial in a Chicago newspaper more than a century ago. You know, the University of Chicago was founded to be a Baptist institution. Mm-hmm. Actually, it was actually created with donor money around an existing seminary, and it very quickly went liberal. And this editorial says, we are not Christians or non-Christians in our editorial viewpoint, but we do have to wonder, are there not any places that espouse infidelity that these things could not happen in? If you pay money to go get a Christian education, mm-hmm. should you not be able to get one? And that's really the thing. Baylor is destroying its brand in pursuit of I don't know what, and it's just shameful. And there's a reason that Liberty University is many times their size now. They have advertised my entire lifetime that Baylor is the largest Baptist institution of higher learning on planet Earth. Well, they aren't anymore. Liberty has shot past them manyfold. And this kind of trash is a big part of why.
You know, Rod, I don't understand how Christians, and especially people in a university, you would think, okay, you're educated, you're learned, hopefully you're smart, not just, you know, I somehow passed a course, but I do have intelligence to where I can process things, how they can't see that if you present yourself as Christian, you better be Christian. You know, if you say we believe the Bible and you teach evolution and you teach Genesis 1 through 11 is just myth and story, that most people would say, well, you don't really believe the Bible. I know that I talked to a professor that got ousted at Baylor just at the NRB, and she said she didn't want to say too much, but she said basically what happened to me surely wasn't Christian, and I got ousted for teaching and standing up for the Bible. You know, it makes people scratch their head and say, okay, other than Liberty, where can I send my child to get a true Christian education?
Well, and there are a few places, and certainly I'm a fan of Hillsdale, which, while not being, you know, a Baptist institution by any means, is actually pretty faithful on most of the things that our Baptist institutions no longer are. And the laundry list of Baptist institutions that have gone bad is just extraordinary. The conservative resurgence was incredibly effective for a time at the national level, so our seminaries and so forth. Mm-hmm. And even that has regressed in some of our institutions. But at the state level, There just wasn't that kind of fight. And Missouri Baptists have done well in reclaiming their institutions, which tried the exact same heist that Baylor pulled off. But it's just really shameful. It really is. Look, I am a consumer when I go and get a degree. I am a customer. I know universities hate to hear that, but that's the truth. I am paying them for a service, and in exchange for that, they're going to give me an education and they're going to give me a diploma. I am a customer. Now, if I choose University of Texas, I am choosing Big State U. I am choosing liberal professors. I am choosing a particular kind of education, and that's fine. That is a perfectly valid choice if you want to do that. But if I'm choosing a Christian education at the collegiate or graduate level, and what they give me is indistinguishable from what I would have gotten at UT, that's false advertising. That is like me buying a Coca-Cola and being handed a Jack Daniels. I haven't bought what you gave me, and I'm not happy about it. You know, even if Jack Daniels is wonderful, and I say that for your Methodists and your Catholics that are watching, you know, the Baptists can't drink that stuff. But even if that's wonderful, I asked for a Coke. And you sold me something else, and that's fraud.
Yeah, well put. Rod, let me ask you this, switching gears. The war in Iran and our American allies, the countries there in Europe that are supposed to be on our side, what has this exposed with those relationships?
Well, you say it exactly right. Exposed is the word. You know, we pay more than 70% of the combined defense budget of the NATO alliance. That might be okay if NATO was largely composed of Belgium and Luxembourg, but it isn't. Great Britain is the sixth largest economy in the world. Germany is the third largest economy in the world. Canada is something. I mean, who knows? But 40 million people just across the border that share an economic zone with us. That's a wealthy country. These people are freeloading. They are absolutely freeloading. A few years ago, the German army showed up at a NATO exercise. This is a training exercise. And the German army showed up with broomsticks because they didn't have enough rifles. Keir Starmer just tried to send a destroyer to defend the British base in Cyprus because, for people who don't understand the Navy, destroyers have all kinds of fancy air defenses, so they're going to send them to the island of Cyprus to help defend British assets there that the Iranians had attacked. And here we are, nearly 2 months later, and the British haven't been able to get a single destroyer to the Mediterranean. Couldn't get it out of port for a while. And this is a country that in 1982 sent 127 ship armada all 8,000 miles away to the Falkland Islands to rescue it from the Argentine invasion. They can't get a ship out of port. They've got twice as many admirals as warships. And these are supposedly defense partners. They can't defend themselves. They can't defend themselves from a Girl Scout troop. It is absurd. And we're paying their bills while they snark at us, while they deny us the use of our own bases that we paid for, while they deny us overflight rights in France and Spain. We have to fly around France and Spain. What? I mean, these aren't allies. These are all but enemies. And if that's how they want it to be, I don't. I want them to step up and be real partners, not surly teenagers in our basement. But if they want to be teenagers in the basement, it's time to kick them out and tell them to get a job or learn to speak Russian. It's up to them. We really don't care if this is how they're going to treat America. We're going to put America first. We're going to put American taxpayers first. And we're happy to be allies with anyone who will be a real one. We are not happy to pretend to be allies with people who haven't actually been real partners for 30 years.
Okay, so Trump is not one to put up with that. If you put yourself in the mind, Rod, of those leaders of those countries, what are they thinking? I mean, why do they not want to help us?
Well, first of all, they have large Muslim migrant populations that they let in over the last decade. And, you know, we warned them that was a bad idea, and it has been a terrible idea. It has radically increased domestic violence, rape, robbery, rioting, every bad thing. And to Germany's credit, now that Syria is kind of sorted out, they are engaged in pretty advanced planning to remove 9 million Syrian refugees back to their homeland. That will be a positive thing. But they're afraid of hacking those people off. London is run by a Muslim mayor who has a huge Muslim constituency. Londonistan is a thing. And so they're afraid of those people. They're also deeply invested in Iran. And we have to be honest about this. They speak with forked tongue. They invested heavily in this evil regime in Iran and business enterprises there while we were trying to prevent this regime from expanding its power, expanding its reach, expanding its terrorist operations around the region. They have been on the other team, more than not. Mm-hmm. Likewise with Ukraine. They have sent twice as much money to Moscow in energy purchases since the start of the war as they have to Kiev in aid. They are financing Vladimir Putin's war while they're wagging their finger at the United States. Do more. Well, you guys do something. And I will credit them this much. They have gone from, at the outset of this, their LNG purchases from the United States was actually a net negative 2% of their LNG use at the outset of hostilities. That's now up to 60%. So that's a good start. That secures their supply. That gives them an opportunity to have some breathing room diplomatically. That gives them a more integrated alliance that makes more sense. And nobody's going to be blowing up a tanker crossing the Atlantic. That's just not going to happen. So this is better for everybody, but it's not enough. They've actually got to build real armies, and they've got to actually stop obstructing the United States every time the United States does something, primarily, by the way, to protect their oil, because we don't import from the Persian Gulf. They do.
Mm, good point. Okay, I saw this tweet today from your boy Robert Reich, as Rush used to call him, Robert Reich.
Yes.
So he was the former Secretary of Labor, I think under Clinton. He wrote this: reminder that any political party trying to make it harder to vote is sending a clear message: they can't win on their ideas alone. Just sickening. But Rod, we have about a minute and a half till break. What's the latest on the SAVE Act? I haven't heard a lot about it.
The SAVE Act is relatively stalled, but we'll see where that gets. We've got some other things ahead of it in Congress. And for that to happen, Thune is going to have to find a way to move this legislation that gets around the 60 vote rule. There are ways, and you and I have discussed them, mm-hmm. but he really doesn't want to do those things. So I don't know where we are on that. However, after the break, we should discuss the Supreme Court's ruling on racial gerrymandering, which completely remakes the midterms.
Okay, we'll definitely do that. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, talking to my friend Rod Martin. Rod is a Christian. He loves the Lord. He's the founder and CEO of Martin Capital, philosopher, capitalist, anti-communist. Rod is a great source of information. You can follow him on X, Rod D. Martin, and you can learn a lot talking to him. And so, Rod, it's always a pleasure having you on the program, because I always learn a lot from you. I marvel at how you have such an in-depth knowledge about so many things, and that is really, really amazing. So we will come back from the break with more Rod Martin. Don't go away.
If we lose this cultural war, we're going to have a hedonistic, humanistic society.
Discover the story of the culture warrior, Don Wildman, and how he went head-to-head with Hollywood, Playboy, the homosexual agenda, and the Disney empire. The movement Don started paved the way for Christians to boldly stand for truth and righteousness in a hostile culture. Watch Culture Warrior today for free. Visit culturewarrior.movie.
AFA Action takes attacks on the family seriously. The enemies of the family constantly employ new tactics to try to sneak past our radar. They know if we stand together, their evil plans will fail. Your gift to AFA Action allows us to stay vigilant against their onslaught. And if you give this month, you'll receive access to the Cultural Institute video, When Your Faith is Illegal, by Frank Harbor on AFA Stream as our thanks. You can make your gift today at afaaction.net.
Maybe this is you too. There's enormous frustration right now with healthcare costs. It is amazing. Healthcare costs for families in the last 20 years have almost tripled, and it just keeps getting worse. All this to say, this is why MediShare is so in demand right now. People are looking for alternatives, and MediShare is proven. You can save thousands of dollars a year and actually like it more. Over a million Americans are now part of healthcare sharing, and MediShare is the gold standard. It's trusted. It works. It's been helping people save money and have peace of mind now for 30 plus years. It's not some big impersonal thing either. It's a community of people like you helping each other. So yeah, if you're frustrated too, here's your chance to make a refreshing change. You'll notice the difference as soon as you call. They're easy to talk to. You can get a price within 2 minutes. Here is the number. Call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE, 833-44-BIBLE.
America was founded as a nation under God, but the U.S. Supreme Court has broken our national relationship with God. Many court rulings have contributed, but three stand out. In 1962, the court removed prayer from public schools. In 1963, the court removed Bible reading from public schools. And lastly, in 1980, the court removed the Ten Commandments from America's classrooms. The Supreme Court broke our relationship with God, and any restoration of that relationship must include the Supreme Court. And a vacancy on the Supreme Court could soon be coming. So please support AFA Action's urgent legal work to help President Trump select and the U.S. Senate confirm godly constitutional justices for the Supreme Court. We put thousands of hours of research into potential nominees. We use our networks at the Trump administration and the U.S. Senate to promote the good nominees and oppose the bad ones. AFA Action needs the resources of supporters like you to help maximize our efforts. So please visit afaaction.net to learn more and donate today.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. We're talking to Rod Martin, and Rod is a political strategist. He keeps his finger on the pulse of what's going on in the world, and he looks at world situations from a biblical lens. Okay, Rod, right before the break, you had mentioned the recent, just as of yesterday, Supreme Court decision, 6-3 decision, where the court struck down Louisiana's 2024 congressional map, which created a second majority black district. This had to do with gerrymandering. And for our listeners who aren't real familiar with that, that's a big, long word. Why is that an important decision?
Well, this one is an important decision specifically because it was racial gerrymandering. The thinking of the courts in the late 60s and all of our lifetime since has been that white people won't vote for black people. So if black people are ever going to have representation, you have to make fake congressional districts that are only composed of black people so that they can have representatives in Congress. Well, that is, first of all, utterly racist. This is a country that elected Barack Obama by big margins twice. Black people are 12% of the American population, but we elected Barack Obama by big margins, did I mention, twice. Mm-hmm. So that's just absurd. Second, two-thirds of the black House members in Congress are elected from non-racially gerrymandered districts. So clearly white people are voting for them. That's not an issue. The real issue here is that they have inverted the plain text of the Constitution as it pertains to race, and the plain wording of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, and frankly, Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act of 1965, which they claim the Supreme Court just overturned. No, the Supreme Court just overturned your twisting of Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act of 1965. It overturned racist gerrymandering. Now, what does that add up to? That's 21 districts. That's 21 House seats that go to the Democrats no matter what. Absolutely no matter what. We are legally, or we were legally, spotting the Democrat Party 21 votes in the House of Representatives. Now, will we win all of this back? You know, probably not, but we've got a shot now at all of those areas. They will have to be redistricted. States that don't even want to do redistricting are now going to be constitutionally required to do so because they have racially gerrymandered districts, which are now impermissible, and that makes more competition. So estimates range anywhere from 12 to even more Republican pickups just as a result of this. A lot of those seats will stay Democrat. They'll have different lines, and their state governments will draw them in a way where the Democrats are going to win them anyway. But it doesn't change the fact that we have now officially ceased in a 6-3 ruling saying that America hates black people and that we should spot the Democratic Party 21 seats to protect their interests. That's absurd, that's immoral, and it's about time. So kudos to the 6, and shame on the 3.
Rod, were you surprised at the news about the Southern Poverty Law Center paying to fan the flames of racism?
Well, I've been targeted by them like many people have. And, you know, Dr. Dobson was targeted by them. Tony Perkins has been targeted by them. The SPLC, the Southern Poverty Law Center, made its name by fighting racism. And that's a good thing and good for them back in the day. And I do mean like a long time ago. Well, in the interim, they ran out of racism. And that's what this shows. The fact that they actually financed the Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville, that was such a big deal. The fact that they actually paid for many of the protesters on January 6th tells you there is much less racism in America today than the left wants there to be. And the grift at the SPLC today, and it is worth hundreds of millions of dollars, has been to fight racism that has largely disappeared.
Right.
So we're finding, you know, what this indictment shows is most of the public racism that people have seen, you know, white against black, has actually been funded by Democrats to make a scandal, to influence an election, and frankly, to raise money and increase the square footage of the head of the SPLC's home. And it's just so corrupt, and people are going to go to jail.
Yes, and they should. Speaking of going to jail, the amount of fraud that we're uncovering, that Tim Walz has the audacity to claim victory over this, and I think it was Kash Patel that immediately said, you hadn't done anything. You're the culprit in this. Do you see, Rod, that there's any scenario where that guy would be pinned with some of this fraud?
I actually think that Kash Patel, and of course Kash Patel, director of the FBI, I think his clapback there in public with the immediacy and just the strength of the wording tells you that Tim Walz is a person of interest at least. And there's no way that $9 billion was stolen right under the noses and from the government of Minnesota without at least some people in the government of Minnesota having been part of it. And people have to understand the magnitude of this. This money went to the Democratic Party in many cases. This money went to fund a terrorist group in Somalia called Al-Shabaab, which is the local affiliate of Al-Qaeda, for heaven's sake. It turns out that the taxpayers of Minnesota are the single largest funding source on earth for Al-Shabaab. And it's welfare dollars. It's money that's supposed to be alleviating poverty. I don't know about you, but I've seen a scripture or two that says how evil it is to steal from the poor. And It seems to me that the Democratic Party, Minnesota is the tip of the iceberg. California is going to be vastly worse. New York, vastly worse. We're going to see that many, many, many of these welfare programs weren't about poverty at all. They were about skimming off the top to support these causes, these evil, political, and sometimes violent causes. So I was very pleased to see that the president put J.D. Vance in charge of the investigation. I was very pleased to see he has created an entirely new deputy attorney general position for the purpose of going after this exact kind of fraud. And you'll notice we had 22 FBI raids yesterday in Minnesota alone. They're very, very serious about this. But I would add, we had a couple other things happen yesterday that are also encouraging. Everybody's been saying, where are the arrests? Where are the arrests? Well, it takes a minute to build a criminal case. Mm-hmm. But yesterday, the DOJ indicted Anthony Fauci's top aide. Now, you'll recall Joe Biden gave Fauci a full and complete pardon for anything he may have ever done, which tells you that Joe Biden understood, to the degree Joe Biden understood anything, at least the auto pen understood, that Fauci is a criminal. And turns out he is, because his top aide just got indicted for falsifying government records and suppressing true ones about the origins of COVID. They're going to discover that there are people in the United States government who were in collusion with the Chinese government, mm-hmm. creating a bioweapon that got loose. Now, how it got loose, I don't know, but that's in some of the documents that were suppressed. So we now have that, and that guy's been indicted. That's real. The other one is Jim Comey, our illustrious former FBI director, who got indicted yesterday in the Eastern District of North Carolina. So not in D.C., not where he will walk, for sure. In a district where we can get a fair trial, we can get a jury, he'll have his day in court. He may get off, but he threatened the life of the president. He actually tried to incite an assassination attempt. And you'll notice that indictment came down right after the third assassination mm-hmm. attempt on this same president. No one has tried to kill an American president as many times as people have tried to kill Donald Trump. And the assassin or would-be assassin here, when you look at his social media, when you look at the manifesto mm-hmm. he wrote, it is plain as day. He is just a mainstream Democrat. This is not a crazy guy. This is a Caltech graduate who was a school teacher. He was very intelligent. He was very capable. And the things in his manifesto are mainstream Democrat talking points.
Yes.
They are not wild, crazy stuff. So there's polling on this that your listeners need to know. Back in September, YouGov, which is certainly not conservative, did a poll on political violence. And what they found was that among people, men 45 years of age and younger, who identify very conservative, 3% approve of political violence to get their way. Now, I find 3% shocking. But the problem is, young left-wing men 45 and younger, that number was 26%. Mm. More than one in four think it's perfectly legitimate to murder somebody or blow up a building or basically engage in terrorist acts to get their political agenda through. That is an incredibly dangerous situation. And that's the background for this assassination attempt. It's also the background for Jim Comey's new indictment. And yeah, things are moving now. This Justice Department means business.
Okay, speaking of Fauci, I saw this from Rand Paul Rod. He said this, I've said it from the beginning, lying to Congress is a felony, destroying yes. federal records is a felony, advising yes. others to destroy federal records is a felony, and Fauci yes. did all three. But Fauci can't be prosecuted, right?
Well, there's some debate there. The Justice Department is continuing to research the possibility that his pardon and several others could be overturned based on Joe Biden's not just cognitive disability, which is now pretty clearly established, but on the fact that he actually didn't give the order to do a bunch of the things that were done in his name. The auto pen frequently wasn't just a tool to make it easier on Joe's hand, you know, to sign a bunch of documents. It was being used by his staff to enact federal regulations and even sign legislation and do pardons and all these different things without his knowledge or consent that we can tell. Now, can you prove it to a federal jury? I don't know. And they don't know either. But if they can, I would say that constitutionally speaking, many, if not all, of his pardons would necessarily be void. And we could get to Tony Fauci. Now, as things stand, no, we can't. But again, this Justice Department is serious about actually following the law. I think there's a decent chance we get there.
Let me ask you this as it relates to free speech. Jimmy Kimmel joking about President Trump dying, and that's been, or being killed, that's been blown up because of the assassination attempt that took place on Saturday. Would you say, obviously Kimmel is just eaten up with TDS, Trump Derangement Syndrome, but can he make those jokes in a free speech country?
He can make those jokes all he wants. He just can't necessarily do it on his network's dime. And, you know, he's already in trouble with them. He's already on his way out the door. Free speech means we have to actually put up with anybody's stupid opinion that they want to express. That's perfectly fine. What they can't do is cry fire in a crowded theater, which is the famous wording from the case. And it's about stampeding people with a pretty decent chance that some of them will get hurt in the process when the threat announced isn't true. And inciting violence. You're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to cause people to try to overthrow their government. You're not allowed to encourage someone to assassinate the president. So what Kimmel said probably doesn't cross that line, but it's a stupid, stupid thing to do. It is totally reprehensible, and he should lose his audience, not his right to speak, but people should just tune him out. This is a bad person, and we shouldn't be giving these people platforms because they're actually just right up as close as they can get to the line of actual criminal acts that would put you away for 20 years. It's just wrong. And if you or I had ever made a joke like that about Obama, we would have instantly had an FBI investigation. You may recall there was a rodeo clown mm-hmm. in Obama's years who made a joke about Obama or wore a mask or something. Right. And he was drummed out of his career.
Yeah, that's so true. Well, Rod, thank you for being my guest today. Always insightful, my friend. We'll do it again soon. Thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. Go out today, shine for Christ, share what great things the Lord has done for you, and God will use you as his witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.